Praise the Lord, Father, for this time. It's good to have fellowship with all the saints. Let's get to the point right away. For the introduction, it's not so easy to have an introduction for this epistle. But I think that we can start with the first verse in Peter. I'm assuming that we have all read this epistle often as a preparation for this conference. But my burden tonight, in the beginning, is right at the beginning of this chapter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. We know that of all the apostles in the Bible, in the New Testament, Peter was mentioned very often. Although many might appreciate the other apostles more, but Peter was mentioned so many times. When we read the New Testament, when we read the Gospels, this name Peter pops up so often. Why? Because he is an important apostle that the Lord is using, especially for the beginning of his work. Remember what the Lord told him. He said, I will give you the keys of the heavens. The kingdom of heavens. So surely Peter is important. So we should know him a little bit more. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. You can say that actually that he's the first apostle. We also see that in the Pentecost, he was the first one who stood up. And he gave such a word that was short and living and to the point through the Holy Spirit. And on that day, 3,000 people believed and were baptized. The Lord used him. And why do I say this? Because many have the concept that we do not need man. We just want to follow Jesus Christ. That sounds good. But tonight we have to recognize clearly that the Lord can speak. But he speaks through men, whether we want it or not. He needs men. He needs people. That's why, based on this epistle, I want to have a little bit of fellowship regarding Peter. When the Lord first appeared to Peter, we see, for example, in Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verse 6 to 8 or to 11. What was Peter's reaction when he saw Jesus, or when Jesus came towards him? Who was Peter? What was his background? If we read Luke, chapter 5, he says, I'm a sinner. He even told the Lord, don't come so near to me because I'm a sinner. Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. That's verse 8 in chapter 5. He was even a fisherman. A fisherman. We know that a to have a career as a fisherman is not that great. Not so fine. Not like all those who were in Jerusalem. He was not a fine kind of a man. He didn't have so much education as the others. We think that if the Lord would call people, wouldn't he call more people like Paul? If you would choose people to be your co-workers, whom would you choose? We're now talking about selection or election. George, if you are choosing co-workers, whom would you choose? Where would you go? To the fishermen? Probably not. Probably not. But where do you want to go? To the university. Of course, you'll go to the university. Of course, the best is to get the professors themselves, right? Those who are highly educated and those who are rich, not the poor. The successful ones, the successful businessmen, wouldn't you choose them? But the Lord didn't choose such. He didn't choose such to be apostles. He went to a sinner, to a man without any kind of religious background, a fisherman. But surely that does not mean that Peter, John, and James didn't have a heart for the Lord. Surely they did. We know that some of them during that time followed John the Baptist. Like John and James, for example, they were disciples. And John, they had a heart for the Lord. And yet they had an inner consciousness that they were not worthy. I don't think that the Lord will call someone who thinks he's so worthy. Peter's first reaction was, Lord, depart from me. Don't come so close to me, for I am a sinful man. This really touches my heart. That touches my heart. For example, even Peter, sorry, Paul, what did Paul say? Did he say, I'm very educated. My professor was the best Gamaliel, and I'm his best student. Was that his, did he boast of this? Was that the reason why the Lord chose Paul? What did Paul say? He didn't just say, I'm a sinner. What did he say? Toby, what did he say? I'm the least, I'm a chief sinner. I'm the chief sinner. If you do not realize this and recognize this, then you are not qualified to be an apostle. Who thinks he's so worthy, so capable, so rich, and is this and that, then remain in Jerusalem under the high priests and the Pharisees there and the scribes. The Lord did not choose them. The Lord did not go to them. He went to Peter, to Andrew, to John, James, to Nathaniel, to Philip. He went to such people and he called them and chose them, "Follow me." But I'd like to say one point to you. Even today, amongst us believers, are you already perfect? Paul said, we are not those who trust in the flesh. Do you think we don't have the flesh anymore? So it is so important to know Peter. But Peter said, God's election is through his foreknowledge. He doesn't just know people outside. He knows you inwardly. He knows your heart. We look at the outward things of man, but the Lord looks into the hearts of man. We have partiality, just as James said. We see people, we judge them. But James fully exposed this clearly. He exposed this very clearly. So I'd like to tell you, the Lord's election is not according to the outward, but according to the inward. Even after we have been believing for so long, and we have followed the Lord so long, as, for example, John in the book of Revelation, he was the beloved apostle of Jesus. When he saw Jesus in Revelation, what did he do? Did he rejoice and praise? What happened to him when he saw Jesus? He fell on the ground as a dead man. He who does not see Jesus and thinks he's so good, you think you're so qualified. I just want to tell you today, if we really follow the Lord, the more you follow the Lord, the more you will realize that you are unworthy. Not that you're so qualified, I've been in the church so long, I can judge everything, right? But if you are like that, you will destroy the church of the Lord. Because you think you're so qualified, then in the end you will be a judge. Then you cannot build the house of the Lord, and you can not only just build it, but you will rather destroy it. We saw this so clearly in these last years. Those who destroy the church, they're not those who don't know much, but they're those who are too qualified and think that they are the responsible ones. For this reason, when we see how the Lord called Peter, we see that he had so many problems. The Lord had to work on him so much. And he corrected him so often. He spoke so much nonsense. And he thought that he was saying the right thing. James said, we have to tame our tongue. You know, from Isaiah chapter 6, when this prophet saw the glory of the Lord and saw the holy God. Such a wonderful vision. What did he say? Woe is me, because I'm a man of unclean lips. Do you think, or do I think, that I have clean lips? Why have you spoken so much that has destroyed the church? Or have caused other saints to fall and stumble? And our influences, what we influence with our loose lips and tongue. And just with Peter, that the Lord chose him and called him, the Lord had to work so much on this man. We have to see this. Peter. Especially this name, Peter. Surely the Lord has all called us all. We are the called out ones. But if we are not prepared to have the Lord work on us, and if we don't realize and recognize that we are sinners, and even we think that we aren't bad, I'm good. Who is good? There's no one that is good, said the Lord. Remember, a young man came to Jesus and called him the good master or good teacher. In Zion, they use the other translation. But the Lord told him immediately, why do you call me good? No one is good except for one. Only God is good. Have we not read that in Romans? There is no one righteous, not even one. You think you are good? If someone asks me, do you think I am a bad person? I don't have any answer for that. Who is good? Are you good? Manolo, I see you on the screen. I see you on the screen. No one is good. Yes, here I am. I am not good. You see, Manolo is not good, and I'm just as good as he is. Yes, that's the two of us. But it's good to know this. It is good to confess, I am not good. Are we righteous? The scripture says no one is righteous. Do we have a good mind? Are we sound people? Romans chapter 3 says no one is of good mind. That's why we're so confused. Because we lack understanding. We don't even have a pure heart. If we do not realize this and confess it before the Lord, then the Lord cannot choose us, and much less make us an apostle. Do not think that it is easy to be an apostle. To be a theologian is simple, but to be an apostle, to be a chosen one of the Lord, can the Lord send you? This is a great big question. The churches need apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. The scripture said it so clearly. Because we need such people. Of course, we want to follow the Lord. That is clear. We need to follow the Lamb. But that does not mean that we follow the Lamb. Oh, where is he? How can we follow him? The Lord speaks through Paul, through Peter, through James, through John, through Mark, through Luke, through Matthew, through you, through all of you. Don't think that it's easy to follow the Lamb and just say, okay, I'm going to follow him. It's not so easy to follow the Lord. Paul said, imitate me because I imitate Christ. I'm an imitator of Christ. Paul wrote Timothy in the epistle of Timothy, everything you have seen and heard of me, of my suffering and my persecution and how I suffered, my love, my attitude and behavior, my patience, imitate me. And you say that we do not need to follow any man? Did Peter not say that the elders must be patterns, examples? Why do we need examples in the church? Are you an example? Are you all examples who are leading the church? In a family, the parents have to be examples to the children. Otherwise, where will the children learn? Just from the teachers? No. The children learn more from the examples, more from how you raise your child with a stick, a rod. Examples speak more, patterns. They count more than just the teachers. If you are not an example to the church, then don't be an elder. Then you should not lead the church. Let those who are examples lead the church. Paul even told Timothy, be a pattern to all the believers, even though you're young. What are apostles? The called out ones, the elected ones. Yeah, we think they wrote so much and today they're not speaking anymore. But still, we are learning from what they have written. And actually, it is the word of the Lord. But the Lord can't write the same thing. He's using the prophets to write. And at that time, the prophets said that they searched carefully. They inquired and searched carefully, not only about the teachings, but the sufferings of Christ and the glory that would follow. And Peter also wrote that the Lord himself is an example. What was the example? His teaching? No, his sufferings was an example to us. The Lord suffered for us, and he became an example and left an example that we should follow his steps. What kind of footsteps are those? Teachings? you can speak well. I know we can all speak well. But what's the use of having a good speech? Or a nice message? Yeah, that's fine. But what's the result? What does the church life look like? Today I'm speaking out of my heart. It's not about the teachings, no. But the Lord must work in each one of us, the young and the old, especially the young ones, but even more the older ones. The danger with the older ones is that we are filled with so much knowledge that we think that we are something or somebody. That's why, as we just mentioned, Isaiah, when he saw the holiness of the Lord, he said, "Woe is me." And Paul, when he encountered the Lord, he fell and became blind because he thought he knew so much. He thought he saw everything and was right. But he became blind. And he had a great turn, repentance. Such brothers and sisters is what we need in the church today. How can the new ones that come into the church learn? Should they learn from the messages or from your example? By your behavior and conduct. Especially if we see that the coming of the Lord is very soon. And 2 Peter says, what manner of persons we ought to be in holy conduct and godliness. It's not about the teachings, even though we need the truth. But the truth without life is hypocrisy. You speak the truth, but you live a different life. That's hypocrisy. Then we're not any better than the Pharisees and the scribes and the elders at that time and the high priests. Do we want to repeat history? Look at the condition of the church where you're at. And observe at your own personal conduct at home, even when nobody sees you. How are you living? How is your relationship with the Lord? The Lord is living. Then we also see that Peter made so many mistakes. No one is mistake-free. No one is mistake-free. Even when he became an apostle, we saw in Galatians chapter 1, when Peter saw James and the brothers that came, what did Peter do? He became a hypocrite. And Paul had to exhort him openly. We should not think that an apostle does not make any mistakes. No. The Lord warned, and the apostles warned, and Peter and Paul warned that there would be many false apostles and false teachers. That there would be many. And the Lord himself warned and said, many false apostles teachers and apostles will come. The Lord himself said that. That's why we say, oh, we're not going to follow any man. No, we have to have a spirit of discernment. We have to be able to discern. It doesn't mean that we don't follow anyone. No. But if a prophet speaks, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, do all have to say amen? What did Paul say? All have to discern. Is he speaking properly? Is he speaking through the Spirit? Is it scriptural what he's saying? We should be the Bereans. Don't just follow blindly. The Lord also said, these Pharisees and scribes, Sadducees, they are the blind leading the blind. That means if you follow blindly, then that's your own fault. Why do you believe everything? If you are one who follows the Lamb, then you must prove and test everything. That's why Paul says, test everything. After such a long time in the house of the Lord with many saints, I want to tell you, I have to tell you a heavy, serious word. We should have known long ago. We should have discernment to know what is good and what is not good, what is from the Lord and what is not from the Lord. The Lord is building his church. We need brothers and sisters, brothers who are patterns, examples that the Lord can use, because we all have gifts according to the measure of Christ. Even Peter said that. Not everyone has the same gift, no. We have to be faithful, but the saints must all have discernment, and this is why we need maturity. Maturity. At the end of high school or gymnasium, what do you get? You get a rich report card that you became rich. For after so many years in the church life, did you mature? What does it look like? Are you proud? Do you think you know everything? We need more salvation. With respect to the priests, what does Ezekiel say that the priest should do? The priests should teach the people what is holy and what is unholy, what is good and what is evil. We need to help the saints to see what comes from above and what is from below. James speaks about wisdom from above and wisdom from below. If you speak, what kind of wisdom is coming out of your mouth? Is it building up, edifying, or is it destroying? Destructive. We can see with Peter, for example, that he received a wonderful revelation. And the Lord will give us revelation. The revelation of Jesus, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And the Lord said, blessed are you, Peter. Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. It was a wonderful revelation. But immediately after, the Lord told Peter, get behind me, Satan. It was so fast. It switched. It switched over so fast. After the message, you received a wonderful vision from the Lord. Then, after the message, the revelation, Satan spoke through Peter. Surely that was a shock for Peter. If I were Peter at that time, and the Lord turned to me and said, "Get behind me, Satan. For you are not minding of the things of God, but the things of men. The things of men are from the fallen self." And that's why the Lord said to Peter, "If you follow me, if anyone wants to follow me, he must deny his soul life." Instead of denying the soul life, we say, "Lord, I'm confused. I don't know. I don't know what to do." What does that mean, you're confused? That means you're in darkness. You're in your flesh. You're in yourself. If you're in your spirit, then you're clear. For this reason, we see that the Lord had to work in Peter and change his name. What is a name change? It means that it's a transformation from the natural Simon to a living stone for the building up of Zion. In Zion, Zion cannot stand if all the natural people are just walking around and just live in the fallen humanity. That doesn't work. That's why there's a name change, and it's important. What did the Lord reveal to him regarding the building up of his church? Did he say, "Oh, I'm going to bring the kingdom"? He said, "No, the Son of Man must go to suffer and then die and be killed, and on the third day be resurrected." They could not grasp this. This is not according to our natural concept of for the building up of the church. We just think, "Oh, the ground of the church, the ground of the church." What is that? The ground of the church. Do you think that if you have the ground of the church, that you are already the church? Is it so simple? In the last 60 years, I have seen myself and can testify, no. That does not automatically make us the church. Then, if you are the church, you have to ask, are you a living church or a dead church? Are you a burning church or are you a lukewarm church like Laodicea, or a church with Jezebel? Then the Lord will tell the church in Thyatira, "I will put you on a sick bed and you will remain there as sick." Or to the church in Ephesus, who already left the first love, the Lord told them, "If you do not repent, I will take away the lampstand, remove the lampstand." If you were the church yesterday, that does not mean that you will still be the church today. Where were the golden lampstands at the time of the apostles? Shortly afterwards, all the lampstands disappeared. And instead, there was Babylon. We must go on with the Lord. And the revelation that Peter received was just an initial revelation. If you see Peter, he would say, yeah, I've received many more revelations. In Revelation chapter 1, John saw more than he ever saw when Jesus was on the earth with them. So we see it didn't happen so quickly that the Lord made him an apostle. And the Lord does not just need one apostle, he needs many apostles. Even Paul called his young co-workers Timothy, Titus, but he didn't call them, Mark was not called an apostle. But Mark wrote the Gospel of Mark. But all his information that Mark got from in his Gospel, he actually got from Peter. Do you think that Peter didn't write a Gospel? He didn't write it, but he wrote it through Mark. But can you imagine if Mark said, I don't need you, Peter. Without him, do you think he would be capable of writing Mark? The Gospel of Mark. In the beginning, Mark was not so good. He left when he was with Barnabas and Paul on the trip, on a journey. That's why Paul wanted to send him away. Yeah, you already left, so. But fortunately, Barnabas took him up. And later, Paul realized, I need Mark for the work, for the ministry. And later, Marcus continued on with Peter and went onward with Peter, and Peter explained and described all the details of his experience with Jesus. Do you think if Peter had not explained all those stories, who would have told Mark all those things? Where would Mark have learned all those details? We have to leave behind all our natural concepts. We need one another. We need fellowship, the fellowship of the body. Paul said, be my imitators because I imitate Christ. That means you follow somebody only if this person truly is following Jesus Christ. Not just because he can speak well. No, forget that. But we have to follow his life and the result in his life, in his conduct, that he has to be an example. And don't think that just the brother and his... You also have to know his wife. That's mine. Okay. It's important. Sometimes the wife is more important. Eve. She caused Adam to fall. That's why Peter said... That's why Peter spoke of Sarah. He spoke of Sarah, yeah. Calling Abraham Lord. being submissive to the husband. We have to learn so many things. That's why Paul also said that the women should be silent in the church. He did not say that without reason. He already got his reasoning from Genesis chapter 1. We have to learn spiritual things from the Word of God. All Scripture is written by the Holy Scripture, but not directly, but through men. If we say that we do not need to follow men anymore, then we shouldn't give any more messages. And not have any more conferences. Why do we have conferences? But the point is that those who are elected, those who are prophets and shepherds, teachers, they have to follow the Lord so closely. They have to experience Him in the reality, in their conduct. The Lord has to work in them a lot. The Spirit must work. The Lord has to chasten us. Hebrews chapter 12. Are you ready to be chastened? Are you prepared to be chastened? Even when your parents say something to you, then you react already with tears and you yell. If your parents cannot chasten your children, how can God chasten you? Without chastening, no one can grow in life properly. That's why the Lord said, "He whom I love, I chasten." And if you are not prepared to be chastened by the Lord, then you are a bastard. And you cannot be a partaker of His holiness. The only way to be sanctified, as Peter said, be holy because God is holy. But without chastening, there is no sanctification, no holiness. You want to be free. You want to do what you want. I want to do this, so I'm just going to do it. Then you say, I have peace. Of course you have peace. If a thief goes into the bank, he also has peace. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done it. What kind of a peace is that? Peace from above or peace from below? You have the liberty to do whatever you want. Is that peace? In the end, you're the only one who has peace and nobody around you has peace. So maybe you think, what kind of introduction is that to the first epistle of Peter? It is important to see the brother who wrote this epistle. But the Lord worked on this man very much. And in the end, this man became a different person. He became Cephas. And we can see that in his epistles. He was not as the Simon at the beginning, but he became Peter for the building up. And he speaks of sanctification. That's why he says, emphasizes it so much, the sanctification. And he speaks of suffering. the way of suffering, for without suffering we will not enter into glory. We've seen, he saw the glory of the Lord, but to reach that is not simple. Our Lord went through sufferings and entered into glory. And this, which other way would we use? We can't even receive any criticism from somebody. He said that he was an eyewitness in 2 Peter of the glory of Jesus. But he also was an eyewitness of the suffering of Jesus and an eyewitness of the resurrection and ascension. He was an eyewitness. That's why what he wrote is not just teachings, but if he wrote something of the suffering of Jesus, that he was silent before Pontius Pilate and didn't say a single word, and he was not reviled when he was reviled. But we fight in the church. Why? We fight regarding about nothing. When I see that, it breaks my heart, because we're fighting about nothing. And in the end, one person leaves, and then the other, and then it doesn't come, etc. Why? Who causes this? What's the source? And then you point your finger at the others. He did it, she did it, not you. This is not how Zion is built up. This is not the way. Then when Jesus was resurrected, he spoke to Peter, "Do you love me?" Peter, do you love me? Peter said, "Yes." Then the Lord said, "Feed my sheep." Then he asked again, two more times. Then Peter wasn't feeling so good because the Lord asked him again, "Do you love me?" Then he didn't dare to say, "Yes." He said, "Lord, you know." That means he wasn't so sure that he loved the Lord. Maybe a little bit, but it wasn't sufficient. A little bit of love for the building up of the church does not suffice. Then the Lord said again, he said, "Tend my sheep." Sorry, the first one is feed my lambs, the second one, tend my sheep. Then the third time the Lord asked, how often does the Lord have to ask you? That's why Peter also said the elders are shepherds and the Lord is the chief shepherd. Feed my sheep. Don't. Yell at them. We speak about oneness, but oneness without love and life doesn't work. That's why the teaching of unity does not work, or oneness. Then we have many strange concepts. And in the end, oh Lord Jesus, look, we want to follow the Lord, but without the Epistle of Peter, can you follow the Lord? We are still following Peter today. Or are you not following Peter anymore? I see Ruth there. Why are we having a Peter without Peter? No, we are following our brother Peter. Oh, you're following man. No, I'm following the Lord. Because Peter was an elect. He was a chosen one. Called. Or do you want to throw 1 Peter away because it's Peter?
Yes.
Muchang. Don't follow Peter. And Muchang says, don't throw Peter no matter what. And no, you're following a man, not Christ. If Peter is speaking nonsense, then you shouldn't follow him. The nonsense that he spoke in the Gospels, you shouldn't follow. But now, after the Lord worked in him so much, and he is a faithful follower of Jesus, even a martyr, he became a martyr, then you should follow him. That's why Peter says, if we speak the word or read the word, we should be careful. The first thing is not to have your own interpretation. Because we're following the Lord. And because Peter followed the Lord. Peter, an apostle, was not called by man, but he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. He followed Jesus. That's why we're following him. That's why we take his word, receive it, which is not his word, but the word of the Lord spoken through him. The Lord wants to undermine this. Oh, you're following a man. I'm very prepared to follow someone if he's following the Lord. I would do it any time. But we should be such examples so that the new saints who come to Feigen can see an example. Not just the teachings, not just Zion, 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 but they should see what Zion looks like. They should see people who are living Christ, who follow the Lord so closely and are patterns, examples. Paul said, be my imitators because I am an imitator of Christ. To follow means to imitate, but you must truly be an example. This is what we need. We need this so much in today to reach the goal. To reach the goal. This is why we see in the last epistles in the Bible that these apostles from Hebrews, James, and Peter, and Jude, and the epistles of John, all these epistles, there's not much teaching there, but life, examples, practical applications. Not high visions, but in the end, we're all fleshly. We speak about the Spirit, but have no Spirit. We speak of the church. We are the church. But is it a glorious and holy church without spot? Is it a church that the Lord desires after his heart? Is it such a church? I'm speaking to you not as new saints, Dear brothers and sisters and saints, I truly love you. I want to see the reality. This has been the goal of the Lord. After so many years, we should be such a glorious church. Now is the time of harvest. Now is not the time of sowing the seeds. That was in Matthew chapter 13. But now is the time of the harvest, and the Lord wants to have the first fruits. But are you the first fruits, ready for harvest? Or are we repeating the terrible stories of the past? What a shame. This morning I sang, let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Not for my sake, but for your sake, and much more for the glory of the Lord, that God's will would be done on this earth and would be completed and perfected, and hopefully together with us. That's why we need the Epistle of Peter. That's why it is good to see how Peter became such an apostle that he can write such an epistle to us. From a poor, rough fisherman. But he was prepared to leave everything behind. Isn't that wonderful? Are you ready to leave everything behind? Amen. Praise the Lord, brothers. May the Lord continue to speak to us through the brothers. Okay? Praise the Lord for the brothers. Paul said, it's not I that's speaking, but it's Christ in me. That was in 2 Corinthians. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you all. Time is over. Praise the Lord. See you tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Take some time to pray and have fellowship, etc.